you had Nikola Tesla. And I thank Nora for sharing with these ones about his association with the birds. You see, as you grow, you will find that there's great, great spiritual resource, a true love affair that comes between man and a creature who trusts man. It isn't the same kind of love association that dirty old men would like to place on this. It is an appreciation for the little being, the little creation in its perfection, that loves you and trusts you and shares with you enough to be what those birds were to a Nikola Tesla. And one or two become so precious that they come into your heart. Many of you have experienced this. It doesn't have to be a bird. There is a place even more magnificently strong for those helpless little creatures there than there are for the thinking, processing beings of even your own children. It is that total innocence of just being. Just being. And yet, as you move into the higher aspect of even the bird kingdom, you find you are dealing with thought-capable beings. I didn't say souled humans. Energy-bearing, loving, giving creatures. There will never be another dove or pigeon that will match the one that shared so much with Tesla. And God lets these creatures bring the light. Eric would remember when Babaji came. Remind him of it, Audrey. And a little sparrow was sitting on EJ's knee, or Dorma's knee, I don't remember. Doesn't matter. Little Albert. There was never a sparrow to match it before or ever again. Just as there is nothing like you before or ever again. They can clone you, and they will never replace you. And Babaji was speaking directly to Eric. He was having trouble trying to sort out who is this Babaji versus who is Satya Sai Baba. Energy is the same. Source is different. Higher. Babaji is the father. And you can call him whatever name you want to. Gandhiji was accepted as being moving on toward the respect of the father. That was stretching it a bit. Gandhi never used his powers of alchemy, for instance, as Baba has to show you. And yet, see, even in showing you, he produces something that also destroys people's very ability to believe him. You want signs and you want symbols, and yet you have to be very careful. Because magicians can make you think they have created something in their hand. And the fact that one such as Satya Sai Baba can do this is startling, and ones who follow him will certainly cling to that. You know, ones witnessed Baba getting up someone who'd been dead for days so in the morgue. That makes a believer of you. And yet Baba would tell you, I did not do that. I just told him to get up. Babaji needs him. He's not through. Get up off that slab you cough out. Well, why doesn't everybody around here just go with Sathya Sai Baba? Because Sathya Sai Baba is in India. And he doesn't have it right for your purposes, your journey. He's got to get a lot of Indians understanding their passage. The Hindus, Muslims, everything. And they bow down to the east 4 or 5 times a day. Baba has a lot of hair. He'd pull every bit of it out if he had to be over here. That is his place. Well, why don't you get over there, Commander? Why would I get over there? They've got their instructors over there to get them where they need to go. If you were to go with Baba, you would be over there. You wouldn't be in Tehachapi. Everybody follow me so far?
Yeah.
You can have religion scattered about the world, but your purpose is going to focus somewhere, somehow, and in some direction. And when religion ceases to be the supporting element that keeps you refueled, you must look at it carefully. That does not mean you even have to abandon understand there is social interaction to be gained from going to church. There is soul support. It depends on what's between your ears. That's important. And when you can sort the truth from that which kind of borders on it, from the manipulation, it doesn't mean that you don't even give your tithe or your offering. It means that you give it knowing what you're doing. And don't say you're doing it for God. You're doing it for the church. That is honest. And you are doing it for the church because you love God. And then pray for those suckers who get it and misuse it. You cannot lump everything. It is like lumping all white people into one lump. George Green took your gold, therefore all white people are terrible. Thieves and liars. Thugs. No, he doesn't even realize that he's a thief. Do you see? Have compassion. He honestly believes that he served and he deserves it. But that is not the kind of truth. Everything is truth. Everything is truth. But that truth will not get you a ticket to where you claim you want to go. in a way that day. Dorma didn't want to speak. Eric and Audrey would come over to visit. Sometimes she longed to go back to those early times where it was uncomplicated by Hatton and lessons that had to be learned. And Babaji came. And Eric and Audrey were still asleep when he first came to Dharma and said, "I want to speak to my son." And she said, who are you, you know, running around in my bedroom in vapors and rainbows and things. And he says, "You know me well. I am Baba and I need to speak to my son." And she said, "I can't do it. I'm sorry, sir, I cannot do it. I don't understand what is going on in my world, and I can't do it." And for 2 hours, it went on like this. She finally got up. She tromped around. "I'm not going to do it. This is craziness. You're not real. Nothing's real. I'm not going to do it." And finally, he said the one thing that will stop most of you if you have responsibility. And he said, "You would have my son not hear me because you feel unworthy." Well, yes, sir. That's exactly what I mean. And then, just like the Jewish mother, oh, goodness, do we ever use the guilt trip on you ones. Fine for you. You have a faithful, loyal student. And I have something to say to him. And I would ask you to do this for me. So finally, she takes about 13 deep breaths, goes out and says, "There'll be no breakfast or anything. Get in there because I have something that's going to happen. And I don't want to take time to eat because I'll change my mind." And we were just learning, so we get the blindfold and we get everything. And she gets all ready to do this speaking, and in comes Little Sparrow. Well, Little Sparrow, that was a precious little creature. And there was as much weeping at the death of this creature as there was over any child that ever died. It came first and did its little bath in her hair. You know, flopped this way and that way and everything. And so Babaji just comes right on and has his little talk with Eric, and it gets pretty serious, and Albert has no appreciation for this, except he's just reveling in the energy that is flowing. And so he's hopping from one to the other and sits upon the knee. And Babaji said, "Yes," because Eric had said something about coming in many ways. "And I understand that you can be there and here." And he said, "Yes, and you better watch out because I very often can come as a sparrow." And if a sparrow could grin, you would have seen it laughing. Don't ever underestimate the value of these little creatures. Don't be foolish about it. You are the creature for which all else was created. Know it, respect it, hold it dear to you. And never judge your journey by that of another. If you have truth, you will have total compatibility with the higher energies. Total compatibility. You don't need to go hide off in someone's room because you bring a teacher to your dwelling. You don't need to bar Hatan from presence. I will go if I choose to go. Mostly, if you are hiding from Hatan, you already have your answer, don't you? This has always been the most interesting part of this particular journey, as far as these ones are concerned. Hatan will go meet with the Queen of England. I have no hesitancy whatsoever. Dharma does. I don't. And she will usually bow to that. And I try not to embarrass her. On the other hand, when you start rewriting religion, or you start interpreting it, or you do this, or you do that, why, if you are correct, do you hesitate to have someone else present who also might know? Well, I don't want to embarrass myself if I'm wrong. If you are wrong, don't you want to find out? And if, as you are saying, well, he may be right about a lot of things, but he's wrong about this, don't you think I deserve to know? Why would you hesitate to tell me? Because I'm louder? Be careful what you do. Look at what you do. Look at what you do. It's like the University of Science and Philosophy. If they just teach what Dr. Russell wrote on light and energy, etc., what pick could I possibly have? Now let's look at the likelihood of it. Knowing what you know, if you've kept up at all, about the Committee of 300, I've told you all along there's a member of the Committee of 300 on their board. Prince Charles, for one, part of the royal family. He's sort of an honorary member. I'll get there in a minute. But let's listen to the rest. And when I say, but let's listen to the rest, I don't want to have this interpreted as being an insult or a degradation. I am just telling you how that place is operated at a higher level. I'm not even talking about the university itself or the little study courses. I'm talking about the hierarchy of that place. It is funded by the Brookings Institute, the brainwashing number one under the Tavistock Institute in the United States. The Tavistock Institute, of course, is mummy to MI5, MI6, a British intelligence, which developed the ADL, and all of the massive, most critical and involved of all the intelligence resources. They are the private, paid by the Queen of England, their salaries, intelligence arm. So when you try to figure out what went wrong, who did John Coleman say he was? He said he was an officer in the intelligence MI6. Now, did Dr. Coleman go down to destroy Hatan, or was he aggravated at George Green? It doesn't matter. It works. The backwash is the same. There's certainly no competition. We do nothing that they do. So there can't be any competition. But ones visited there recently, ones that you would know of, therefore I shall not name names. They already are under a great deal of pressure in their own location. But this particular one will say, Ms. X had Ms. Z visiting. Ms. X had been to visit that place 10, 15 years ago. And both being in the local neighborhood, decided they would go out to Swannanoa Palace to take the tour, just as any tourist would do. So they go out to the tour grounds. And as they are being processed with the rest of the little group that was there, obviously they don't get a lot because things are getting in a very bad state of disrepair. And it's $6 a ticket to go in and this sort of thing. They go in and start their tour. Once upon a time, the grounds of this palace were absolutely exquisite, but everything now showing its wear. And they start through the building, and this man did not like them being there at the door. He said, "Why are you here?" to these two people. And the third time he said this, she said, "Well, why in the world are you here?" "I'm here to take a tour." Possibly he thought he knew her. "But I want to tell you something. You ones wear an aura about you that make people most uncomfortable if they see it, and they're not of the same ilk." So she took the opportunity to ask what they were doing and et cetera, et cetera. She just let it go. But now enough attention had been called that she could ask a lot of questions, and he was required to answer. He finally asked her if she was Rachel. And she said no. So obviously he thought he knew someone. And he asked from where she came, and she said, "Well, I had come from Sedona originally. I was in Sedona. I was married in Sedona," the man said. And she said, "Well, that's strange, because at the door you said you were from New York." "Oh, well, I just went there to get married, etc. I'm from New York, but his license plate says Wisconsin." So you have a lot of intrigue already. Well, partway through the tour, they wanted to see the gardens, and the tour was not going to go to the gardens. Now you'll see why. As you go out into the gardens, they are in worse shape and lack of care and lack of upkeep than anything else around. The back building's in terrible disrepair, and the gardens left to grow over, pretty much untended. But the things that showed were still pretty much tended. And Walter Russell had done a sculpture of the master, Sunanda, years ago. And it was like a centerpiece. It is like a centerpiece. It's on a pedestal. And therefore, everything around it very, very well manicured, but not distracting from the statue itself. No more. It is the centerpiece of a pentagram done in flowers. A real pentagram with its star points in the proper position for pentagram. So you might say, "Oh, well, someone just wanted to make a star." as you move farther back to the rear and to the side of the estate itself, the building itself, the palace, you encounter a tower, man-made tower, with platforms, like diving platforms. Now, if you are aware of things like the Bohemian Club and the Bohemian Grove and what that bunch of club members do, you know, they dress up in ritual costumes, run around naked, and participate in all of these rituals. These are, by the way, the highest members of your administration, your president, Kissinger, Gergen, you know, this bunch of overgrown boys dressing up in ritual costume, going out and then stripping, running around naked, urinating on everything. This is part of their little games once a year, their little annual stag party. Well, they also have high days of ritual at Swannanoa Palace. There had obviously been a rather large fire pit. You could smell the odor of sacrifice. The pit itself was now covered over with fresh dirt, you scraped over. And then, of course, their little tour was abruptly brought to a halt. Now, when I write about these things, is that insulting? Does that mean that my scribe is going to be thrown into federal prison for contempt of court? This is fact. And if it be insult, is there something wrong with what they're doing? Are they not doing it? Then come forth and say, no, we're not doing that. But there are neighbors abutting the property that have seen it going on. Are they lying? If you are doing nothing negative, what difference does it make? I am giving you honor, am I not? Isn't what I'm saying perceived by you according to your belief? And if that is what you want to do, that is what you're going to do, and that is not an insult. You're doing whatever you're doing very well. But I am not in competition with you. I am the opposite of you. I am not going to pull you down. If that is what you want to attract, then keep going, brother, because my intent is to get you on the higher level where it is God to Satan. I'm not interested in anything lesser. I am interested that you know with what you're dealing and why it is so hard to bring this to conclusion. I would guess that Dr. Binder has zero notion of any of this. And if anything, would be honored to have one from the royal family, for goodness sakes, come. But I have to remind you ones of some of the writings that we did. Remember the pornography ring that got completely entangled even with Bush? And remember Mr. Bush going to attend a ritual service in Australia? This is the same thing. And it coincided with Prince Charles' visit. Do you know what is going on in the hierarchy of the Baptist church when you go over here to hear the minister give you a message on Sunday morning. Of course not. And you might say, well, how could Dr. Binder not know? He is president of Swannanoa. Is he? How much time would you guess that Dr. Binder might spend at Swannanoa in Virginia? He lives between Colorado and Montana. He does not live there. And if you read his presentation, this man is a healing person. He is a naturopath. And his writings are beautifully, superbly done on light and goodness. So maybe everything that he touches is completely light and goodness. And certainly, I have no pick with that. And if it be true what he espouses, he only wants to produce some of the things that Dr. Russell presented in free energy, in light and expression. For goodness sakes, we're not in competition with that. The Institute would help him fund it. And yet I wonder, because as these ones went on the tour, they were also told this. Off to the side, the major thrust is not in the spirituality or these other things. There is a major thrust now to develop some of the free energy devices scientifically presented by Dr. Russell. Now, what a shame that we can't work together with ones like Dr. Binder, but I can see why the Brookings Institute would not like my presence. On the other hand, I could short-circuit all of it for them and tell them they don't have it. Russell never had it. Tesla did. Between them, they could have developed it. Russell had only the perception. Remember, Russell was an artist. Russell wrote the instructions. Tesla, on the other hand, was a builder, an inventor, a tinkerer. You cannot complete it alone. Moreover, whatever they are looking for to develop has already been developed. Know that. It's already been developed. So I would repeat, why would you bother to do something like, well, they can put in a proposal. And maybe if Dr. Binder would like to come and work with some of our people after we got our facilities, he would be most welcome. But why would you invest a great deal into the Swannanoa Palace sort of circumstance off in Virginia somewhere? On the other hand, if this is for mankind, it should be analyzed, and if there is funding for this project, it should be considered. But when you wonder what in the world locks us up, it's these interrelationships that you cannot see. And you have to understand that I, who can see them, cannot divulge them prior to their time. And now you may as well know that also runs from MI6 and Her Majesty's Private Navy have interjected themselves into money transactions, just botching up the deal, making it very difficult. Do they know what they're doing? Under these circumstances, no, this is just a greedy sucker. But the end result is the same. And it makes it very dangerous for ones just trying to do their job. Is it something that cannot be overcome? No. Most certainly will be overcome. But I want you to see the connection. I want you specifically to see the connection because of its higher implications. You keep asking, who is my real enemy? You're beginning to see who is your real enemy. And the ones on your level do not see it as your enemy. They see it as you have used their property. Rod N. spoke with Dr. Binder. And he espouses right back just a mirror image of what George Green and John Coleman have told him. No looking into it, no possibility of understanding, just voice it back exactly what they've been told. Well, why don't I get into it? Why would I get into it? Why would Anton get into it? It's going very nicely the way it is. Dorma is nervous. And no, I don't make promises to her. I said it'll be fine. And she hears that as saying, that does not say, Commander, I won't be in jail. And I said, that's right. Doesn't say that, does it? So let's move on. I'm dragging. Overly make a report on Ray Allen and Ross Butler.
Ray Allen had some good news. She said that the Austrian consul, the branch in Chicago, had filed a formal complaint with the federal court, and the federal court has taken the state to task with respect to the treatment of Gunther in that prison, and that prison system now is under federal investigation.
Yes.
And they are leaving Gunther strictly alone as of Friday.
Yes.
Well, and this is why you need the law center. Just by its name and the capability of going directly to the embassy, to the ambassador, they listen.
I think Mr. Dixon was involved in that. It may have been his telephone call to those two Austrian entities that got some action. We don't know that for sure. There were others making approaches, as well as to the Amnesty International. So at this point, we don't know exactly where the real pressure point was.
Well, we're very glad, because regardless of how it works out, all the way out there, that is a team member you want on your side, believe me. You have already reaped rewards that you don't know about. And so have they from this relationship. And Audrey, I would hope, would pass the word to Lori how much we appreciate her. And also, whenever the book is ready for final tending, absolutely, we'll see to it that Ray's book is written and gotten out there. She's a faithful, loyal friend. And each of you cannot be there. Lori attends Ray. Therefore, we need to attend Lori. We can't let her bear the full brunt and responsibility. We can help her with phone bills and things like that, but she's a busy person, a mother, and she's doing Ray's typing. She receives calls from Glinter and passes them, and there's never a complaint. So we do help her. But I don't know that we can ever help her as much as that which she gives. And I want her to know that we thank her. Let's hear from Soltak. Let's get the rest of the bad news.
This came in about 3 o'clock, 3:30 this morning, and it is not in Soltak's usual tone. There is precious little time, as Commander says, and yes, indeed, this is the rest of the bad news. Tonio Soltak, present in the light of holy God, there is much pain with many this day, and that pain is felt and understood by the hosts. Your lessons during this time are many and may seem more than you are able to endure. Yet these most difficult lessons are those from which you shall learn the most. And yes, though you think not, you shall endure all that comes against you. In the passing of 1 week of time, the situation in your Midwestern United States has but grown worse. And more are now without homes or possessions. The lack of drinkable water is becoming a serious problem, as is the lack of proper sanitation facilities. Portable sanitation facilities have been hauled into these areas, along with public showers and water tank trucks. Some people have been 7 to 8 days without a bath or shower. They simply do not have any of the conveniences that your society has come to take for granted. You have close to 500,000 people now in a survival mode in the heartland of your nation. Most of these people who live near or at the edge of the rivers have no flood insurance, for there was none available to them, and now they have lost all their belongings. The farmers do not have flood insurance either, and these ones were already in dire straits, financially speaking, before the waters came and washed everything away. All these people have counted upon your government to come to their rescue in the event of a natural disaster. Well, folks, your disaster is here, and guess what? Your government has no money, for it has all been given away. Ask the people in Los Angeles who were wiped out in the riots of 1992 how much help they actually received from the government. Ask the people in Hawaii who were struck by the hurricane last year how much help they have actually received from your government. It will gladly tell you, zip, zilch, nada, the big goose egg, zero. In fact, many of these people are in the process of filing a lawsuit against FEMA because after 1 year, there has been no money for rebuilding. Why? Simple. There isn't any to be had. Students, we have been harping on this subject for 4 years now, and yet the majority has not gotten the message that your government is simply broke. It is insolvent, and the bill collectors are knocking upon the door. Where do you propose the money come from? You can file lawsuit after lawsuit to the highest courts in the land, and the only thing you will achieve is a big lawyer's bill. Because you cannot squeeze blood from a turnip, and that, dear ones, is the essence of what you are trying to do. There is one thing that your politicians are not lying about, and that is that your national debt and deficit is out of control. They do lie about telling you that it can be fixed by all their little band-aid bills, proposals, and budgets. It is so great a debt that in no way can it ever be wiped out. For the amount of the debt is far greater than the amount of currency in circulation. And yet your government continues to borrow at astronomical rates from the Federal Reserve. And they now have you ones in the big squeeze. For they are in the process of property seizure to cover the indebtedness. And paying for the debt is one place where your politicians will step aside and agree with you that it is your government and your nation and your responsibility. And then they will simply hightail it out of town when the chips begin to fall upon you, the people. So if any of you are waiting for Uncle Sam to come in and bail you out of your troubles and rebuild your farms, your businesses, your lives, well, think again, for it is not going to happen. What shall you do? That's a good question, for I do not know what to tell you, for it is as closing the barn door after the horse is left out. It is too late to plan ahead for these ones, for their rainy day has come to them already. The bad news